Hey, good morning, good evening, and good afternoon. This is your guy, Larry, and you just tuned into another awesome and wonderful episode of Larry's Biblecast. So how are you guys doing today? Hopefully you're having a wonderful day, wonderful week going ahead here. So I just want to get right into this episode today. First of all, let's definitely keep keep the war Israel is involved with, keep them in prayer. Keep those people in prayer in the nation of Israel, okay? I really think that, you know, I've been, like some of you, been watching the news, been watching what's going on over there. And to say the least, first of all, it's been very brutal when it comes to what the situation has been. I think I've talked a little bit about it on my last episode of Unsung Heroes of the Bible, just my immediate thoughts of what happened on October the 7th of the attack on Israel through a group called Hamas, which was a terrorist group. There's no denying that. It has been a very brutal attack when it comes to the human lives that were taken, that were brutally taken, were murdered, killed, and just done in so many inhumane ways that I can say. They're describing this as Israel's 9/11, and they're also even comparing this to nothing that has been horrifically done since the Holocaust. I tell you, the Holocaust was very brutal. It was a time in history that a lot of people that were Jews that were brutally killed. One of the things that I am learning that the history of the annihilation of Jewish people has been a theme throughout human history. It has been a theme that has been going on for way before all of us were born, I'm sure, back in biblical times as well. And it's so interesting to be reminded that when you go back in biblical history, you see that they were constantly trying to kill the babies, kill the firstborn at that time. Going as far back as Moses, when the Pharaoh was trying to kill all the Hebrew boys at that time. And as you read further, you know, you go into the New Testament, right when Jesus was born, the Hebrew, the king, at that time, he was also trying to, kill all the firstborn boys in order to get to the coming king that he had heard about. I can't think of his name right now. My mind draws a blank, but you could tell, and it's more than just those two events. You know, the Jewish people, they are still the children of God. They are God's chosen people. And this is reason why that even though we're seeing this happen in the physical, on the news and you know, where we're getting our news from, about the events and the situations that's over there, but we're also understanding and should understand that this is a spiritual attack as well. In other words, any group of people or possession that God has called his own, the children of Israel, the God's chosen people, he had made an everlasting covenant with these people. And this was in the Bible. You can read it in the Bible where it talks about that. And his loyalty, his commitment has never changed. And because of that, the devil doesn't like it. The devil, to me, it's almost like Satan had executed an attack on these people. And just because you belong to God, just because God loves you, I'm going to attack you. And so I go and you know, like I said, I have been watching this throughout the week, at least a couple of weeks now. I believe they are in like day 14 of this war. You know, it's spreading. The United States is now making their military present. So, you know, I have to say, you know, I know that it's one thing for it to be over there and Israel to be able to handle it. But now for the U.S. to be there because we are their ally, this could potentially get bigger because the nation of Israel also is surrounded by those that do not like them. And some reports have been coming out saying that the country of Iran has been behind this attack through Hamas, who is a terrorist organization, as well as I just learned some reports out of Lebanon that there a group, another terrorist group called Hezbollah, is also they have also been responding to war against Israel militarily as well. They've been throwing bombs and missiles and whatever else that they can do that are participating along with Hamas. So this here is brewing. It's like a it's getting hotter over there, and so we have to be praying. As Christians, as believers here, we need to be praying. We need to be praying not just for Israel to maintain and control that region of the world and their country. There's countries and others that do not like Israel at all. Like I said, there have been statements that have been made from other groups saying they want to wipe Israel off the map. They want to, and there's a scripture in the Bible that has been said about them. I need to find it. I need to find it real quick. And it is, I want to say it was in, let's see, bookmarks. It was in, oops, I'm sorry. I tried to finish or save what I had here. And this was something that I had looked at here. Here it is. This is found in Zechariah chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. And it reads here, it says, I will make Jerusalem, talking about the city of Jerusalem, like an intoxicating drink that makes the nearby nations stagger when they send their armies to besiege Jerusalem and Judah. On that day, I will make Jerusalem an immovable rock, and all nations will gather against it and try to move it, and they will only hurt themselves. So this is out of Zechariah chapter 12, verse 2 and 3. And this was quoted a lot during the reports and reports that I have been getting, not from just like news reports. This wasn't coming out of news reports. I follow a few other ministers and people that are Christian believers that has also been looking at this and has been showing that this is something that we have to be praying about. Okay, we have to be praying about. We have to be constantly in prayer of not only the stability of Israel, but what is going on. The Bible tells us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, I believe it is, and so that's what we should be doing as believers. Now, I will say this, and without you know, some of you may be thinking that I'm only talking about Israel, and I'm only talking about this war that's going on in Israel. But remember, I don't want, and you know, and the news does this quite a bit. It will divert the attention, even though that is the news of now. But We still have a war that's going on in Russia and Ukraine, and how Russia is trying to invade Ukraine and take them. So we still have that going on. Okay. We still have over here in the United States, we still have, I mean, lots of things that is happening in our world. We got things that are happening politically, but we also got things that are happening in our city streets and in our cities all across the United States. There are protests going on here in the United States. There are also killings and murders that's been going on for years, of course, but there is also, it's just an increase. Seems like it's been an uptick of violence that has been going on all across the United States, you know, and I'm going to say this. For one, the Bible says that these things will happen. You know, Jesus talked about it in when he talked to his disciples. He said, you will hear wars and rumors of wars. OK, but he said that, see that you are not troubled. I want to matter of fact, I want to go into that real quick. Verse 20, chapter 24, where it says Jesus speaks about the future. Okay. And this is a good place. I want you guys to go and refer back to it. Just don't listen to me as I'm reading it to you. I want you to go to your Bible, and I want you to open your Bible up, and I want you to read this as well. It's important for even in the last days, for you not to just go by what a person is saying, but you need to go and run reference on the scriptures that they are using. It's important for you to be educated in the Bible, okay? So I'm reading out of the book of Matthew, chapter 24, starting at verse 1. It says, as Jesus was leaving the temple grounds, his disciples pointed out to him the various temple buildings, but he responded, do you see all these buildings? I tell you the truth, they will be completely demolished. Not one stone will be left on top of another. Now this was a pretty powerful statement he said about the temple. Then he said later Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives. His disciples came to him privately and said, tell us, when all this happen, what sign will signal your return and the end of the world? Very important, very important. Remember, this is in verse 3 of chapter 24 of Matthew. Jesus told them, don't let anyone mislead you, for many will come in my name claiming I am the Messiah. They will deceive many. You hear that? And you will hear of wars and threats of wars. Okay. But don't panic. Yes, these things must take place, but the end won't follow immediately. Verse 7 says, nation will go to war against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in many parts of the world. But all this is only the first of the birth pains, with more to come. Verse 9 says, then you will be arrested, persecuted, and killed. Excuse me. You will be hated all over the world because you are my followers. And many will turn away from me and betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and will deceive people. Sin will be rampant everywhere, and the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved, and the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the world so that all nations will hear it, and then the end will come. All right. So, and this goes further than that. It goes into verse 15. And just I really want you to go and read the entire chapter of chapter 24 of Matthew. Okay. There's a lot that Jesus has to say. A lot, a whole lot. Matter of fact, goodness, I'm just looking at it right now, and we have to go through this on another separate episode. But there's a whole lot that Jesus has to say in chapter 24 about the last days, the end of the world and things. And so I'm sure that this has been a topic among, not only because of the fighting that has been going on in Israel, but because even when Russia began to invade Ukraine, that took a lot of Bible teachers on notice, and they began to start to see that there were some parallels of what is going on in the scriptures. So again, in Jesus' words, and this is one thing out of all the stuff that he has said and things that we will hear, things you will hear probably on YouTube, whether you're getting your news source on YouTube, whether you're getting your source on TikTok, whatever you, wherever you, you're going for your news, whether it be on regular TV. Listen, the Bible tells us to not be troubled, to not have anxiety, to not have anxiety of the things that are going on, but to know the signs, to be aware of the signs of his coming. Now, I say this, I say all this to tell you this. It's important for us now and not wait and not procrastinate for a month from now or a year from now or 2 years from now, whenever you feel like you're getting ready. Don't procrastinate about giving your life to the Lord. OK, don't procrastinate and put this off and say, well, I'm not ready and I got things I got to do, or I still want to live my life the way I want to live it until it's time for me to just go ahead and just dive right in and do everything for the Lord. Don't do that. Don't do that. Listen, I was raised in church. My grandmother used to talk about we're in the last days. My grandmother has been gone and in the presence of God right now, and she's been gone from this earth more than 20 plus years. I say that to say that, and there's another scripture where it says in Peter, the book of Peter, it talks about that God is not being slow. Okay, he's being patient, and he's being patient for our sake. That means that we don't have a lot of time. That means if you're listening to me and you're not a believer, you haven't given your life to the Lord, or you have not given your life 100% to the Lord. You can't straddle the fence with this. You can't be a Sunday Christian. Okay. You have to decide at this moment in time, are you going to be his? The Lord has begun to move on my heart, and this is what we're going to be doing in this episode, and that is reading the book of Romans. And so throughout the book of Romans, we will be crossing over into some verses about salvation and giving your life to the Lord, and about the good news and how, what it means to be a Christian, what it means to be a child of God. Okay. We're living here in America, and a lot of times, you know, we get this Americanized religion. That means, and what I mean by that is sometimes we're Sunday Christians. We don't live the Bible out. We don't apply the Word of God to our lives. And so that's been a personal conviction of mine. But it's also even more so knowing and seeing the signs of the times, seeing that the things that are happening in our world today, the chess, it's almost like the movement of chess. If you play chess or whatnot, this is a strategic game, but you begin to see what is happening in the natural is also what is happening in the spiritual. The devil's time is coming short. Satan's time is coming short. Okay. And that means the things that are happening, he's launching attacks. He's attacking people. He's using people to do his bidding. Okay, there is demonic oppression. There's demonic possession. Okay, there is things that are happening in the spirit realm that me or you cannot see, but and there is a war that is happening, not just in the physical that we see, but it's what's going on in the spiritual realm, in the invisible realm that we cannot see. And just know that these are the things that are starting to manifest themselves. The like what Jesus says about the wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes and all kind of stuff that we see, natural phenomenons, just all kind of things. It is telling you that the time is coming short now. Now, we went, like I told you, it's been 20 plus years since my grandmother was telling me about the last days. Now, we're still, and I am now telling you that we're in the last days. But now, it's going to go from the last days to the end times. So the last days, the Bible even talks about the last days. But now, that time clock, if it were to be a clock, if the last days of what we're talking about was on a clock, if it, you could visualize it, I'm sure we would be either 10 minutes to 12 or 5 minutes to 12 or maybe less. But who knows? I'm not going to say that I know, but I do know what I can tell you in confidence is the things that we're seeing now are things that are signs that are leading closer to the coming of Jesus Christ, the taking away of the church from the world. That means the body of believers. We will eventually be raptured out of here. We will be gone. When that takes place, I don't know. I'm not going to tell you that it's going to happen before the tribulation or while the tribulation is happening. Some of you that know what I'm talking about, there's some of you out there that are either post-trib or pre-trib or mid-tribulation, I guess you want to call it. All I know is get your life right with the Lord, okay? I will be putting out episodes of just podcast episodes about salvation and the good news of Jesus Christ. I want you all to not only subscribe to this podcast, but share this podcast for those that will listen, that should listen, that need to be prepared so that when Christ comes, that you and I will be ready and they will be ready. If you're a relative of someone that is not saved, please be praying for them. Be praying for them. Pray for their salvation. I got friends and I got associates and people that I know that are still, they're not saved. And I'm praying for them. My wife and I are praying for them. And so it's important to not get caught without salvation, without your salvation in Jesus Christ, without the good news of Jesus Christ. And I'm glad I have this time to be able to record this podcast, because I want you all to hear it and I want you all to take it into heart about your eternal self, eternal security when it comes to giving your life to the Lord. Amen. All right. So thank you again for tuning in. I really appreciate it. We're going to be getting into the book of Romans, and I hope that you enjoy this next episode. Again, sorry for the long, lengthy intro, but I felt like during this time I needed to share this with you. So again, God bless you. I'll be talking to you soon. Until then, sit back and relax and enjoy this next episode of Larry's Biblecast. Right. So what we're going to do is we're going to get right into this special reading. I wouldn't say this is devotional today, but just a scripture reading. And I want you guys to follow along. So we're going to be going into the book of Romans, and we'll start with chapter one. I believe it has 36 verses in it. So we'll read a little bit and gather the information and kind of go over what you know, how the scriptures are reading here about the book of Romans. So hopefully some of you, this is either new to you or maybe something that's refreshing. Maybe you've read it before. Let me first off say that I do not claim myself as a Bible teacher, so to speak, but I will be just seeing as far as just as you are, the best way to open up the scriptures and allowing the Lord to minister to us both, so to speak. All right. So let's get right into it, into the book of Romans. And so we see now here, it's greetings from Paul, which is the Apostle Paul. This letter is from Paul, a slave of Christ Jesus, chosen by God to be an apostle and sent out to preach his good news. God promised this good news long ago through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. The good news is about his son. In his earthly life, he was born into King David's family line. And he was shown to be the Son of God when he was raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. He is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through Christ, God has given us the privilege and the authority as apostles to tell Gentiles everywhere what God has done for them, so that they will believe and obey him, bringing glory to his name. And you are included among those Gentiles who have been called to belong to Jesus Christ. I am writing to you, to all of you in Rome who are loved by God and are called to be his own holy people. May God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. So let's stop right here. This is a wonderful opening to a letter to, I'm assuming, to those that are in Rome. So, and some of you, I know you guys are familiar with Rome and all the things that has been going on. I don't know too much of the background as far as when this was written and about what time. I know this was after the death of Christ and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So, there's a lot has happened, I want to say, in the book of Acts. So this is just a interesting letter, though, to say the least. So one of the things to remember in this is that that I want to point out is that Paul describes himself as a slave of Christ Jesus. You notice that? Christ Jesus. And we also know Christ meaning Christoph, or that word Christ also means anointed. So he is the anointed one, the Messiah. And so there's a lot of names that Jesus Christ has went by. Yeshua, which is the name that Jesus goes by in the Greek. Hebrew. So there is a lot of different names, but I think that this is interesting that Paul, which we find out later has been chosen as an apostle to preach the good news. And so now he, even though he is very knowledgeable and very wise, he also calls himself a slave to Christ Jesus. And I think that that word is interesting, because when we hear the word slave, we think of it in a negative sense. We think of people that have been enslaved, whether they are different ethnicities and different people and cultures and stuff, that they have enslaved human beings. Okay, and in that example, they could have been like working for an individual and not really like an employee, so to speak, but as a slave. Meaning that you didn't have the freedom to go anywhere or do anything, and you were held without any kind of benefit of going anywhere. That's what the word that we know or have known as the word slave. But in this case, we see that Paul has chosen to identify himself as a slave of Christ because he feels at this point in his dedication and devotion that he has chosen to do nothing but what Christ has called him to do. And so therefore, and it's not a matter of, excuse me, him not wanting, not wanting to do the things that Christ wants. He is compelled. He is driven to commit himself to all things Christ Jesus. Amen. And that one, the main focus was to preach the good news. And I love this. So he goes into verse 2. He says, God promised this good news long ago through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. In verse 2, he's referring to the scriptures in the New Testament, I mean the Old Testament, like, you know, the scriptures the prophets that were explaining the good news, like there are verses in the book of Isaiah, which is the Old Testament prophet, that foretells about the coming Messiah to Israel or to Jerusalem. And he begins to link that to a Messiah that will come in from the lineage of King David, or the root of Jesse, which is another name that Jesus Christ has kind of connected himself to, and out of the line of King David. So there is a lot of things in where, you know, this is talking about the prophets of long ago and about the good news, and that he will bring peace and he will bring salvation to the world. And so there's a lot of things that we can read, and out of the book of Isaiah has a lot of scriptures that refer to not only the coming Messiah, but the birth of the Messiah, which, you know, a lot of times we read during the time of Christmas. A lot of times we hear, I think one of the scriptures that come to my mind is, for now unto us a son is born and a son is given, and that, you know, and it goes on from there, and it talks about that he will bring salvation and bring hope to the world. And so these were things that as Isaiah, excuse me, as Isaiah was writing this, he began to prophesy about what he had not yet seen, you know, and so, you know, as time went, we could see how the scriptures began to fulfill itself. So then in verse 3, the good news is about his son. Now, Paul, in this instance, he wants us to know that the good news is just not any good news, but it's about his son, God's son, Jesus Christ. In his earthly life, he was born into King David's family line. So now he, you know, and again, this is what he was explaining. This was something that was prophesied. And he was shown to be the Son of God when he was raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. So this is very interesting here, because we have two different signs of the Son of God, okay? We have, first of all, we have the good news, okay? The good news is about who? About Jesus Christ, about the Son of God, okay? It's about God's only begotten Son. Then it says, in his earthly life, he was born into who? King David's family line. Again, this, it can be referred back to when you read the book of Isaiah, and also in other Old Testament prophets and scriptures that will even also link that together with King David's family line. Then he goes on to say in verse 4, and he was shown to be the Son of God, okay, when he was raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. So we see now that there is a point in which Jesus Christ has been identified as the Son of God when he was raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. There's no way that this individual, as Jesus Christ, would have been able to be confirmed as such if he not had been raised from the dead. He would have been just like any other prophet, any other leading prophet or spiritual teacher that has been in the past, that has started all these other religions and things like that. In other words, they have all died, and there is a tomb in which the tomb has the headstone and the identification of where they lay, where they are currently laid at. There might be not just a tomb, but this big, you know, monument to them and all this other stuff, and say, this is where his body lay at, and this is where the original originator of this religion is laid at. And you could still probably go to them, go to that area, go to that gravesite, go to that monument where they lay at to this day. But with Jesus, he was raised from the dead. You can go to Jerusalem where they laid his body in the tomb there, and he is no longer there. They have, from what I understand, I've never been, but there is a place where we, as we read the Bible, where they laid him in the tomb, the stone, the steel, the seal, the Roman seal that was rolled in front of that tomb has been rolled away. You can actually physically go in there, and you can actually see where Jesus Christ was at. And there's no other place where they say, oh, or that he had the bones of Jesus Christ. You've never heard or have heard any archaeologists or any historians come out and say, oh, we found the bones of Jesus Christ. Okay. You'll never find that, because he's no longer here. He was raised from the dead. And I love what he says here. He was raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay. And it's very important that we understand that, you know, he was raised to life by God, which is, again, when they say the Holy Spirit, that means the third person of the Trinity, the third person of the triune God. Now, that means God the Father, God the Son, which is Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit. And then it says here, it says, he is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through Christ, God has given us, I love this part, through Christ, God has given us the privilege and authority as apostles to tell Gentiles everywhere what God has done for them, so that they will believe and obey him, bringing glory to his name. Verse 5 is a very powerful verse. So let's dive into that. So he says here, he says, through Christ. We understand here, see, that through Christ, everything that is done is through Christ now. Christ gives us the authority. Christ gives us the privilege. We have the privilege. We are now united in God through Christ Jesus. Look at this here. Even Paul announces himself as an apostle in this phrase. To tell what? To tell Gentiles everywhere what God has done for them. Or like he said earlier, the good news. Okay, you see that? So Gentiles, who are the Gentiles? That's you and me. That's those that, whoever is not a Jew, whoever is not considered quote unquote God's chosen people, is a Gentile. Who is a Gentile? Those that are in any part of the world that's not born as a Jewish person. Okay, that wasn't considered that. Okay, Jesus, when he came in the physical body, he was born a Jew. He was born as a Jew. He was raised he was born in Bethlehem, raised in Nazareth. And then later on, he started his ministry and walked around in Jerusalem. And so he was a Jew. The people understood him as a Jewish person. And so he was able to minister and talk to people who were of the Jewish rabbis, and he was called rabbi, as a matter of fact, as a Jewish leader or Jewish teacher as sorts. So yes, this is what his physical appearance, his physical identity was, as a Jew. Okay. And so then it says here, any Gentiles, okay? When it says Gentiles everywhere, what God has done for them, so that they will believe and obey him, bringing glory to his name. So here's one of the good things to recognize about this verse. The Gentiles, which is those of us that are outside of the benefits of God or what have you, are now a part of this greater family of God. So if you are saved, you have received the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you decided that now I want to obey him like the scripture says and bring him glory to his name. You are a part of this. Your name, you could put your name in these scriptures. So it says, as Apostle Paul was to tell us Gentiles everywhere what God has done for them. Do you know what God has done for you? That's a question for you. What has God done for you? Okay. He given you a chance to be with him in his presence for all time and eternity. From the time that we leave here, we'll be in his presence, we'll be in his heaven, we'll enjoy eternity with God as our Father, and we will be his children. Amen. So that's one of the main things, and we can only be that way because God has given us his son, Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? It's wonderful. It's beautiful. Okay. It says bringing glory to his name. When we obey him, we bring glory to his name. Amen. Verse 6, it says, and you are included among those Gentiles who have been called to belong to who? Jesus Christ. Okay. Verse 7, I am writing to all of you in Rome who are loved by God and called to be his own holy people. This is good news. Okay. Paul is now telling them that I am apostle. I am being anointed and appointed by the Lord Jesus Christ, who has been raised from the dead by the Holy Spirit, to bring the good news. I've been anointed to bring the good news. I have been commissioned to bring good news to you that has been prepared years ago by the prophets of the Old Testament and the Holy Scriptures. Now he is saying, I am commissioned to bring all Gentiles, the good news, to let them know that you are among the Gentiles who have been what? Called and belong to Jesus Christ. And this goes back to when he introduced himself as a slave of Jesus Christ. So now in verse 6, he's saying to who belong to Jesus Christ. Do you belong to him? Can you say that today? Can you say that I belong to Jesus Christ? I definitely can tell you I belong to Jesus Christ. I don't belong to no one else. My parents, yes, as an earthly mom, mother, and father, I belong to them. But now that I've given my life, my heart to Jesus Christ, I belong to him. Amen. Verse 7 says, I am writing to all of you in Rome who are loved by God and are called to be his own holy people. That's another question for you. Do you understand that you are loved by God and that you are all called to be his own holy people? Remember, there was a time when the Jews, the children of Israel, was considered his own holy people, separated, set apart. But God says, I'm going to include all of you Gentiles, all of you that are not Jewish people, to be holy people, to be a part of my family, to be in my family, to be loved by me. See? And then what does it say? May God our Father, he doesn't say my Father. May God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Wow. So what do you think about this so far? This is wonderful, isn't it? So we're going to continue on. We're going to take a quick short little break. And we're going to continue on in the book of Romans. Don't go nowhere. Hope you're enjoying everything. And we'll be right back. All right, so welcome back to the book of Romans. So we're going to go ahead and continue in the reading and the diving in of this wonderful, awesome book. And so we're going to be reading starting at verse 8 of chapter 1, and we will be going all the way to, I would say, let's go to verse 17, okay, for those of you that are following me in the Bible. I'm glad that you guys are just Bible students as well. All right. So this one is called God's Good News. So it says, let me say first that I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith in him is being talked about all over the world. God knows how often I pray for you. Day and night I bring you and your needs in prayer to God, whom I serve with all my heart, by spreading the good news about his son. One of the things I always pray for is the opportunity, God willing, to come at last to see you, for I long to visit you so I can bring you some spiritual gift that will help you grow strong in the Lord. When we get together, I want to encourage you in your faith, but I also want to be encouraged by yours. I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, that I planned many times to visit you, but I was prevented until now. I want to work among you and see spiritual fruit, just as I have seen among other Gentiles. For I have a great sense of obligation to people in both the civilized world and the rest of the world, to the educated and uneducated alike. So I am eager to come to you in Rome to preach the good news. Verse 16, for I am not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, the Jew first and also the Gentile. This good news tells us how God makes us right in his sight. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. As the scriptures say, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. All right. So what you guys think about that portion of scripture? Just a lot and a lot to take in. So let's start from verse 8 real quick. And it says here, he says, let me say first that I thank God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith in him is being talked about all over the world. This is so good. Okay. First of all, let's just talk about this. So Paul now has said that their faith in Christ Jesus has been talked about all over the world. You know what that means? That means the church is on fire. That means that the early church that has been started up in Rome has been accelerating, has been doing phenomenal. Why? Because there are so many people that are excited about Jesus Christ. The good news has come to them, and they are committing their life to the Lord. They're doing things in the name of Christ over there in that section or that region of the world. And because they seem to really be solely dedicated to Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit is more than likely is working through these Gentiles, okay? They are doing so many wonderful works and acts of kindness and works of good deeds in the name of Jesus Christ, is that their faith has been probably strengthened, but it's also being talked about all over the world. You see that? In other words, what they have going on is a testimony. Okay. And it's being a witness to others. And I'm going to say this. Can your neighborhood or your community say that about your presence, your group of people, Christians everywhere? Can they say that? Can they say about the church, your local church that is in the neighborhood? Can they say that your faith is being talked about all over that neighborhood, all over that region of your city? Is that impact happening? You see that? He's saying right here, he's saying that for all of you, he says, because your faith in him, you understand, is being talked about all over the world. That means the impact has been just going. Okay. Verse 9, God knows how often I pray for you day and night. I bring you and your needs in prayer to God, whom I serve with all my heart by spreading the good news about his son. I like this because Paul, because he sees their dedication, he sees the growth, he sees the growth spiritually, he is praying for them consistently, fervently, day and night, he says. And he's bringing not only their needs, bringing them up to prayer, but their needs to prayer to God. In other words, he's hoping that God will also meet their needs, their financial needs, maybe physical needs, maybe their food, maybe resources that they need in this church. He says, whom I serve with all my heart. Okay. He also says, by spreading what? The good news about his son. Then verse 10, one of the things I always pray for is the opportunity, God willing, he said, to come and at last see you. This means that he's been praying to get there. Now, mind you, Paul, we're just reading a little bit about Paul here in Romans, but in the book of Acts, Paul was commissioned to go to more cities than just Rome. And he was, by the power of the Holy Spirit and by the anointing as an apostle, he was traveling everywhere. But yet, though he traveled everywhere, he began to send out letters to other churches that he was aware of. And because he knew that these people in Rome were excited, they were dedicated, they were doing all they can to meet the needs in the city, in the area of Rome. Amen. He says here, in verse 11, for I long to visit you so I can bring you some spiritual gift that will help you grow strong in the Lord. You see that? To encourage them. How many of you go to church sometime to be encouraged? The pastor, the preacher, the person that's bringing the message is encouraging you with the word of God, with God's word. Amen. He says, when we get together, I want to encourage you in your faith. You see that? But I also want to be encouraged by yours. So isn't that interesting? See, when we go to church, when we go to the place of worship, not only are we encouraged by the preacher or the pastor or the leader that is giving us the good news or the encouraging word, the message, we're getting inspired, but we also should be doing the same for him. Encourage your pastor, your leader, your teacher, okay? Encourage them by a word of inspiration, a word of encouragement, of thankfulness, of gratefulness, whatever it may be, all right? But the same way, Paul wants to be encouraged by them too. In verse 13, it says, I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, that I planned many times to visit you, but I was prevented until now. I want to work among you and see spiritual fruit, just as I have seen among other Gentiles. He wants to fellowship with them. He wants to be next to them and work alongside of them, doing the work that the church does. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that wonderful? So he wants to come and see spiritual fruit, see the growth from the time that they learned of Jesus Christ, from the time that they learned who Christ is. Listen, one of the most important things for us to understand is once you receive Christ, you begin to walk in him, begin to grow in him, begin to dedicate your life to him by reading, not only reading his word, praying and singing good songs, wonderful songs to him and about him, but also taking that word and applying it to your life, helping become more than just being existing in the world that you live in. Asking God to come in and activate you to do things for him in a world that is dark and dying. Amen. Now, let's go to 14. He says, "For I have a great sense of obligation to people in both the civilized world and the rest of the world, to the educated and uneducated alike. So I am eager to come to you in Rome too, to preach the good news." Now he goes into verse 16. It says, "For I am not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, the Jew first, and also the Gentile. So I love this part because, and this verse has been quoted many times. As a matter of fact, this is one of the verses that is some of the people that I listen to in Christian rap, Lecrae and Trip Lee and Tadashi are part of the 116 clique, they call them, Romans 1:16. And so we can definitely tell this is something that they have been their theme from the time they formed their rap group, the hip hop group, Christian hip hop. For I am not ashamed of the good news. This here is powerful because the good news is the vehicle in which now we are spreading the good news of Jesus Christ about salvation, about God's love, about how God loves us so much that he gave his only begotten son. For those of us that will believe, the trust and believe by faith that we are now given free access to God through Jesus Christ. Amen. This is what it says here. It says, "For I'm not ashamed of the good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work." You see that? It is the power of God at work. And it's not because of anything we're trying to do. It's not because we're constantly trying to get brownie points for God. No, we believe in Christ. Christ giving us the power to do the work that we're doing, to spread the gospel message, to do the work among our cities, among our towns and our communities. Whether it be doing the work at your job, at home, and among your family members, okay, among your neighbor, your neighborhood. In other words, this is the power of God at work, using you, right? In other words, Jesus Christ is not physically here. You are here. I am here. And what he does, we are the hands and feet of Christ. We are the ones that are out there feeding the hungry. We're the ones that's clothing clothing the homeless. We're the ones that's actually helping him and going into the hospitals, going into the prisons, going out there ministering to the neighborhood, to the friends, to the friends and coworkers, being a light in a dark place. Whether that dark place is your home, whether that dark place is at your job, at your school, wherever it is, you're standing as a representative, as an ambassador of the kingdom of God. And what are you doing? You are there to give the good news. You are there to represent the good news. You are there to be that ambassador for Jesus Christ. He says, "It is the power of God at work." Listen to this: saving everyone who believes, the Jew first and also the Gentile. The reason why Paul says this is because the good news came to the Jews first. The good news came to the Jewish people. It came to the children of Israel. That was the Jewish people. They were given the opportunity for the salvation. And guess what? That's still in 2023, still going to happen. There are many Jews that still have to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. But guess what? According to the Bible, they will. Amen. They will. So now we're at this opportune time in our lives, in these last days, that we're now receiving the message of the gospel, the good news. Amen. We're reading right now the book of Romans, a letter that was given to Rome by the apostle Paul of encouragement and just continue to encourage people of that day. Verse 17, it says, the good news tells us how God makes us right in his sight. This is accomplished from start to finish by what? By faith. As the scriptures say, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. Let's finish this right here as we close. It says, this is accomplished from start to finish by faith. As the scriptures say, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. Now, you notice that? Now, this here, and this is out of also Habakkuk, the Old Testament book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 4. So it is telling us, a lot of this is important to understand, that by faith, okay, by faith, and later on, eventually we'll get into what faith is. But we, for now, just a quick answer on that is faith is what your belief. In other words, you trust, you put your faith, you put your life into this, that this is what make me right to God. It's not my works. It's not how much works. Even though I said, like I said, going into all the areas, your school and your neighborhood, your job, those things are good, but you're doing all these things by faith. By faith, that in other words, the good news of Jesus Christ, what Christ has done, it says, makes us right in his sight. See, it's not, oh, let me hurry up and do all these different things and so I can be right in his sight, so I can earn these brownie points, so I can get to heaven. No, it is the good news. What is the good news? Again, as we close, let's not be confused. Let's not confuse this with works. But the good news, and it is good news. You notice that? It says good news, or the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that is that God had given us his son, his only begotten son. He sacrificed his life on the cross for our sin. The sin that we already had coming into the world. When you are born in this world, you're born in sin. See? And so what was that Christ did? Christ died on the cross, shed his blood for you and me and for everyone in the world, so that whoever believe in not just him, believe in the works you do, no, but whoever believe in him, that means believe in what he has done on the cross. The sacrifice that was made, the blood that was shed, that we will not perish, not physically, but we will not perish spiritually and have eternal life. See, if you die right now without Christ, you will just die, and you will die without Christ. You would die without Christ before you die. You will die without, you'll be dead without Christ even after. That means you will be eternally separated from God. You won't go to the presence of God. You will go to hell. Okay? You won't be in the presence of God. You will be in hell, which is not in the presence of God. See? So you have to remember that, and this is by faith. This is all by faith. It's not our works. It's not what we could do. We weren't qualified to get on the cross and die. You cannot sacrifice yourself and say, I've sacrificed my life. No, Jesus was the only one. Because why? Because he was the Son of God. Because he was the sinless Son of God. He was a man like us, but without sin. And so he did and qualified, and all the check marks were checked in order for him to be the best qualifying person, individual, that could take away the sins of the world. That means he could die on the cross, and the blood that was shed on the cross was enough to satisfy God's anger at sin. Okay, anger at anyone that has sin. In other words, that his only begotten son being sacrificed, shed his blood on the cross, was enough to satisfy his anger and to be able to accept you and I in his presence when we die. Very important for us to understand that. It's not about your works. The works come after you accept Jesus Christ, after you receive Jesus Christ by faith, what he has done. And then the works come. That means the effect that Christ has on you and for me means that we begin to learn of God. We have access to God. We begin to have fellowship with God. We have relationship with God. That means God is in our life. We're in fellowship with the Lord. He began to show us and direct us and guide us on every single thing that we do in our lives. Isn't that wonderful? It should be wonderful to live a life right now for God. Give your heart to him. Give your life to him. Don't just exist in a world and you just go through life and just keep going. And maybe your talk of God is only on Sunday, or you just break out your Bible and only bring it to you to church on Sunday. No, this should be 7 days a week. This should be 24/7. That means when you wake up in the morning, you need to be praising and thanking God and praying to God. You need to be thanking him on the way to work. You need to be thanking him for every food and meal that you eat, your breakfast, your lunch, your dinner. And whatever time you eat, you need to be thanking him for your children. Yes, even your children. Thank him for your parents. Thank him for your mother and your father, your spouse, your husband, your wife. Okay, thank him for, even if you have a minimum wage job, if you're working at fast food at McDonald's, if you have a car that's used or something, thank him for it. If you're catching the bus, if you're catching the subway, riding your bike, your health, thank him for your health. Thank him for waking you up this morning. Amen. Thank him for it. If you got food in the refrigerator, thank him for it. Thank him for air that you can breathe, a right mind, mental state. So much you can be thankful for. But thank him for loving you. See what it says? When he says here, what I love about this part, when he says that how God loves us. See? He said he loves us. It's very important to understand that God truly loves you. It's not an obligation. It's not an arrangement. It is something, a relationship that he has desire to love you and for you to love him. If you don't have a relationship with God right now, I implore you, I encourage you to have a relationship, not a church relationship, not something that you relate to him by going to church. I want you to have a relationship all the time, just like you have a relationship with your parents or your sibling or what have you. Anything that you have going on in your life, you can talk to him. You could open your heart to him, your emotions to him. You could explain to him what's going on in life. Life is not perfect. allow now that relationship through Jesus Christ. Now you have access to the God of the universe, the God of all creation. Amen. Listen, I'm going to bring this to a close, but we're going to continue on in Romans chapter 1. And we're going to begin to go through this book, this wonderful book, this letter in which Paul has written to the people of Rome. All right. Well, thank you again for tuning in. I appreciate it. Again, follow me either on Spotify. You can hear this podcast, this particular episode, also on Apple Podcasts. You can hear it on Podchaser. You can also hear it on, I believe, iHeartRadio now as well. So please, please, please subscribe to this podcast so that you can be notified anytime that I have posted a new podcast or new episode, I should say. And also, also keep your hearts in prayers for those that are the families and people that are over in the country of Israel right now. Just begin to pray for the peace of Israel. There is a lot going on, and I'll you probably heard a little bit more in my intro. So I want you to just keep them in prayer. We are living in what you consider the last days. And the last days is very important. And this is why I feel like the Lord has been leading me to begin to just share just the good news. That's what it's all about. The good news of Jesus Christ. We live in a world full of bad news, but this here is the good news. The good news of Jesus Christ, that God loves you, God cares for you, God will continue to grow you, and we will be prepared in these last days to meet him one day when Jesus Christ comes back. God bless you guys. I'll be talking to you soon. May you be blessed and be strong in the Lord.